Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason on Inside Sources.
Welcome back to Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. It is great to be with you today. As always, I am Boyd Matheson. As we round out the program today, a bit of an anniversary day today. 235 years ago, a very important thing happened in New York, which most people don't connect all of those dots. But what happened on that morning, starting with a salute at sunrise and ultimately ended with someone walking home because they couldn't get through traffic. Now, I know you're thinking 235 years ago, people walking through traffic. It was George Washington. It was on this date, 235 years ago, that George Washington was sworn in as the first president of the United States of America. And it is worth going back to his first inaugural address and that first day, because I think there are crucial lessons that we need in our day. And especially for those who want to pick up the mantle of George Washington or sit in those seats or in the seats of power in the House or the Senate or other places at the federal or the local level. Washington, in his first inaugural address, laid out, I think, some of the most important principles that we need to get back to as we look to people to step up to leadership in this country, not just to be a politician or a government official. That doesn't necessarily make you a leader. That gives you a position and a title. Leadership's a completely different matter. So as I mentioned, it started with a sunrise salute, a military salute at Fort George. 9 a.m., the bells throughout New York City began to ring for a half an hour, signaling that this was going to be a day that mattered in the course of history. Of course, there were lots of citizens in and around Freedom Hall, which is where Congress would convene. And George Washington made his way over there, ultimately about 1 p.m., arriving at the Senate chamber there in Federal Hall in New York City. And then at 2 p.m., he took the oath of office, and then he gave his first inaugural address. Now, I'm going to come to the end of the story at the end of this segment, because his ending to the day was a little interesting for someone who just got sworn in to be president of the United States of America. But I want to dive into his inaugural address, because I think these are important principles that we've got to get back to. So as Washington somewhat reluctantly took the oath and then spoke to the combined Senate and House of Representatives, he began by stressing just how difficult it was and how overwhelming it could be to take on this assignment. He said, "On the one hand, I was summoned by my country, whose voice I can never hear but with a veneration and love, from a retreat which I had chosen." He went on to describe how excited he was to retreat from public life as he got older. He said, "On the other hand, the magnitude and difficulty of the trust to which the voice of my country called me, being sufficient to awaken in the wisest and most experienced of her citizens a distrustful scrutiny into his qualifications, could not but overwhelm with despondence one who, inheriting inferior endowments from nature and unpracticed in the duties of civil administration, ought to be peculiarly conscious of his own deficiencies." Classic George Washington saying, "Hey, I didn't ask for this. I was summoned to this by the citizens. I am not the best person for this, but I will do my best at this." And doing so with a very great sense of humility in his own deficiencies. How often do we hear that on a campaign trail anymore, or from an elected official, that I'm going to need your patience, I'm going to need your prayers, I'm going to need your help, because I can't do this alone because I'm not that good. Instead, we have a lot of chest beating and I'm the person and I'll be the one who saves everyone and does all the work. That's never how it was supposed to be. Now, with that, George Washington then shifted his conversation in that first inaugural address to talk about where he was going to look for help. He said, "Such being the impressions under which I have, in obedience to the public summons, repaired to the present situation and station, it would be peculiarly improper to omit in this first official act my fervent supplications to that almighty being who rules over the universe, who presides in the councils of nations, and whose providential aid can supply every human defect, that his benediction may consecrate to the liberties and happiness of the people of the United States, a government instituted by themselves for these essential purposes, and may enable every instrument employed in its administration to execute with success the functions allotted to his charge. In tendering this homage to the great author of every public and private good, I assure myself that it expresses your sentiments not less than my own, nor those of my fellow citizens at large less than either. No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Every step by which we have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. And in the important revolution just accomplished in the system of the United Government, the tranquil deliberations and voluntary consent of so many distinct communities from which the event has resulted cannot be compared with the means by which most governments have been established, without some return of pious gratitude along with an humble anticipation of future blessings. Talking about the founding, the hand of Providence at every step and station, the deliberations that brought about the Constitution were so important to George Washington. He then implored those assembled in that first inaugural address 235 years ago, saying that the foundations of our national policy will be laid in the pure and immutable principles of private morality and the preeminence of a free government, that it be exemplified by all the attributes which can win the affection of the citizens and command the respect of the world. That may be one of my favorite phrases, that the nation's policies have to be laid in those principles of private morality, and that we can actually govern in a way that will win the affections of the citizens and command the respect of the world. I think that's so interesting that none of this can happen. And George Washington went on to say that there was this connection, this union between virtue and happiness, between duty and advantage, between the genuine maxims of an honest and magnanimous policy and the solid rewards of public prosperity. I think those are all things that, again, we're missing so much in our discourse today. And then he went on to talk about a host of different things. He said, if I ever need to act in my office, in the executive branch, I'm going to do it in a limited way. And on those few occasions where he uses that delegated power in the fifth article of the Constitution, as he described it, that they would look on that and judge it and his intentions. He also said that he wanted to make sure that they understood that one of their duties would actually be to pay the president. And he said, I don't want you to pay me for anything. Saying it this way, he said, be limited to such actual expenditures as the public good may be thought to require. So he's saying, don't compensate me for anything unless it was absolutely certain that it was done for the public good and the public good alone. Well, finally, as Washington closed things out, he called for unity, that they would work together to advance their happiness, and that those things would actually bring about the success of this government and a better place and a better future for everyone. It's an amazing, you should go and read that today, 235th anniversary of Washington's inaugural address. And then, as promised, I will note that at the end of the day, after some dinners and festivities, including fireworks, a great display as it was described in the paper of the time, it says at 10 p.m., a very tired Washington started to go home, got into his carriage, and they started to make their way towards the residence at the Franklin House, but they didn't make it very far because there were too many people. George Washington got out of his carriage and walked home as president of the United States. That's worth thinking about today, too. All right, that wraps it up for us on Inside Sources. As you go out into the world today, make sure you see something that inspires, say something that uplifts, and do something today that makes a difference.
KSL FM Midvale.
KSL Salt Lake City.
From the KSL Common Spirit Health Studios, this is KSL News Radio.
Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.